Mrs. Lee, reel two.
Put about carcass back for me to keep. So he said, well, we're going to give you a pair of boots for the beans for Donny. So I says, it's very nice of you, I said. But I said, I wouldn't ask for anything. He said, no. He said, but we're going to give you a pair, but my son won't wear them. He wouldn't wear them. He said, Mother dear, I can't wear these. So I said, why, Donny? He said, oh, he said, they have holes in the top and everybody knows when you're wearing them. So I wrote to my brother and I told him. So my brother came over on the Saturday and he bought him two pair of shoes. But he wouldn't wear the boots for the
Mrs. Lee, did you know about your husband beating you up and so on when you married him during the war? When you married him? He came on leave and you married him. You married your husband?
Yes.
When he came on leave from the army?
Yes.
Did you know that he had fits then and that he would beat you up?
No, no. He came from a really good home in Bridlington. He was an only son. And he was a perfect gentleman. And that's why I stuck by him. It was the effects of the treatment he got in Germany that turned him altogether. And then, you see, he was one that liked to work. He didn't like charity. And he liked to work. Well, his health wouldn't allow him to work. So that made him, he used to go savage.
How long did you know him before you married him?
2.5 years. I went on a holiday to Bridlington, and that was before he went in the army. And I stayed in a house next door to where he lived, and that's how I got to know him. And he was really a little gentleman, and he was a handsome man, but he wasn't conceited, nothing like that, like my son.
He's, what was his trade?
What did he... Oh, first, he was training to be a grocer's manager. He wanted to be what you call, what they are now, super... He wanted to be a supervisor over a lot of firms. And he was taking training for that. He was very clever. He was a very clever young man. And when my people wanted me to leave him and go back to Hull, I thought of how he was when I met him. And I didn't want to be a coward and walk out and leave him when he was so disabled. And that's why I stuck.
What did the health people say about him? Didn't they know that it was his ill health was caused by the fact that he had been a prisoner?
Well, I couldn't tell you about that. When I used to say to him, you go to the military doctors. He said, they won't do anything. They won't do anything for me any more than the British Legion have done. He said, I'm sick of tired of going here and there and people saying no. And it wouldn't go. But he got 5 and 6 a week pension for fighting for this country and winning a military medal. And it disgusts you when you think about it. And when you see the people today that's living good lives on the social security. Hello, good morning.
I wanted to ask you, do you remember when you worked in Scarborough on making the bags for shells? Was it a big factory you worked in? Was it a big factory? Or was
yes, it was.
What was it called, the Scarborough?
Scarborough Bag Factory. It was a very big firm. They employed hundreds of people.
Were they mostly women or men?
Women.
A lot of women?
Yes. I have a lot of photographs where we were taken in this.
We'll look at them later, all right? Look at them later.
It was a really lovely place. And we all wore lovely white overalls. It was a clean place. We used to make these round bags. They were like white linen.
They were like little frilled things, were they?
Yes, yes. Well, and then...
Do you remember what they were called, these bags? Were they called trotles?
No, they just used to be called munition bags. That's the name we had. And it was the Scarborough Bag Factory.
Did you make friends there?
Yes, yes. It was a lovely place. There was a lady there. She was a bred and born lady that was the head lady there. Miss Muller. Miss Muller. She was a dark lady. Dark black hair and brown eyes. She was a very interesting... She was a very well-educated lady.
What was her job?
She was like, what I should say, a director. One of the heads. She was really lovely. They call her Miss Muller.
And what did she do? What contact did you have with her?
She was to seem to have control of the factory.
She was not in control of the girls?
No. Oh, no, there was four women there. Four women was in charge of the girls. But Miss Muller, she seemed to be the tip-top of the running of the factory. She was a charming lady. I can't remember the four women's names.
Doesn't matter.
But I have a lot of photographs.
What did the women do, those four women who were in the factory, in control of the girls? What was their job?
They used to check all the work that the lower people had done. Now, these round bags, they used to be like a tea plate. And the stuff was brought to the machinists. The machinists used to machine them. And then they were brought to another table where we used to have to turn them inside out after being machined. And when they was finished, they were like a little round tea plate, pure white material. And it was a lovely clean place and the money was really good. We used to work overtime. And many weeks we would get £5 odd. That was a lot of wage at that time. And it was a really nice place.
So, Mrs. Lee, you got more at the bag factory than you got at the copper works.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, we used to do a lot of overtime at the bag factory. Well, the copper works, it was 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. As a matter of fact, we worked longer hours at the copper works than we did at the bag factory. It used to be 8:30 to 5.
At the bag factory?
Yes.
So when did you do your overtime?
We used to do probably an hour overtime. Sometimes 3/4 of an hour. But we never did any overtime at the copperworks. Not the crane drivers. The lower people on the floor, they would do overtime, but not the crane drivers.
Why did you leave the bag factory then? I know you went to Leeds to stay with friends.
Yes.
After you saw this accident in Scarborough.
Yes.
But you didn't want to go back to this good job.
No, I didn't go back because I'll tell you why. I did not like Scarborough after the bombardment. I got really a shock. And I said to my father, I don't think I like Scarborough anymore because I saw so many tragic incidents. It turned me against Scarborough.
But you lived at home when you were working at the bag factory in Scarborough?
Yes, I was at my mother's, yes. But after I left Scarborough and came to Leeds, my father and mother went back to Hull.
Oh.
My mother didn't like living in Scarborough. My mother was from a gentry family. And my father was from a very, very good, respectable family, and they had a good name in Hull for being on the ships. They were a seafaring family, and my grandmother was blind. She fell out of a winch with fine big woman. Anyway, putting that on one side, Sir Christopher Pickering of Hull, that owned a lot of ships, gave my grandmother a Pickering Park Hull, a bungalow for services in recognition for services which her sons, five sons, had given to the shipping. And as I say, my father came from a very good family, but my mother came from a gentry family that lived at Garthopshire near Scunthorpe. And my grandfather was a country gentry, country esquire. At that time there was esquires. As I say, my father came from a very hard-working family. We've all been workers in our family. And we've none of us sat back waiting for help from anybody else. And my father said to all of us, there were six of us, and my father said when we left school at 14, "Now then, if you want to achieve anything in life, there's only one way to get it. You must work for it."
Mrs. Lee, when you worked in Scarborough, the bag factory, and there were all these girls, did they all come from Scarborough, or did they come from other places?
Some came from Pickering, a little village outside of Scarborough. Some came from Scarborough. They were all what you could call Scarborough area people.
And were they country girls?
Yes. Scarborough and Pickering was little villages. And they came there, but the majority of the workers of Scarborough Bag Factory was local people. And they were quite a nice crowd.
So they lived locally?
Yes, yes. I lived on Castle Crescent, facing the castle. Well, the day before the bombardment, there was a lot of foreigners writing in books on our garden wall top. And I said to my mother, I said, "Those people look foreign people, Mother." So my mother said, "Don't take any notice of them. They're minding their own business and we must mind ours." And the next morning they bombarded Scarborough. Shocking. So I never go to Scarborough and I never want to go to Scarborough anymore. I sort of turned. It was such a tragic morning that I never want to go there anymore. And my mother never settled in Scarborough. And a year after I came to Leeds, I went back to Hull. Well, my father, he was an engineer, sailed all over the world. He sailed out of London docks when he was 13 on the ships. He took his education in towns where the ships stopped. And he was 85 and he gassed himself. There was taking a, it'd be trips they aren't allowed to take passengers. So my father went home, my mother was dead then. He went home and there used to be a lady next door, he used to see that he was all right. He wouldn't go and live with none of my brothers. He liked to keep his own home. Anyway, he went home when they wouldn't let him go on this ship. And the lady next door said, "I'll be coming to make your tea before long." Anyway, her son happened to call and see her, and it delayed her going in to take my father's tea. So when she got there, he'd gassed himself. And he was 84.
By mistake or on purpose?
Pardon?
Did he guess himself by mistake?
No, no. And he never wore glasses. And he had 19 of his own teeth. And his hair was jet black. This lady went to see him. And she said, and he was sat, that was it, in the chair. She said, "Mr. Pritikart, you're very well." He says, "The sea doesn't want me anymore. And there's nothing in this world that will make me stay." And she never thought anything about it. So she made him his tea. She went back home and her son came. That was it. And then the next thing she heard a lot of commotion. And it was gas. He lived in a very big house and a very big gas stove. He saw on the pipe, put his mouth over it. Oh. Anyway,
shame.
There was gas all over the neighbourhood. So the coroner...
Mrs. Lee, when you went to work at the copper works after being in Scarborough, at the Scarborough...